Morning, turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. If you have your iPhone, if you have your iPad, an actual Bible on print, imagine that. We have Bibles in front of you. We have the Bible up here on the screen. So somewhere around you is a Bible where you can read along together. Verse 26, chapter 13 of Numbers, it begins, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Parm and Kadesh. They brought back word to them that all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwelt in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Achan there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Termites, all these other people. And the Ammonites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and all the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses," we need more Calebs today, "and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with them said, 'We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in theirs also.'" Lord, add your blessing to your word this morning. Allow it to be life unto us. I entitled this message today, Grapes, Giants, and Grasshoppers. I thought about the three G's, and I thought about the OGs. And I decided I was going to title it OG because some people might get offended by that. Some people don't even know what that is, and that's fine too. But here is the spies that went into the land, and they came back, and they were right there. They had come through so much as the children of Israel. They had come through the Red Seas. They have escaped bondage. They had watched their enemies get destroyed in front of them. They've had an encounter with the Lord. They've done so many amazing things. And here they are on the eve of the promise that God had given them. He said, I want to bless you, and I want to give you something, and I'm going to give you something beyond your wildest dreams. And this land that I want to give you is flowing with milk and honey, and it's an unbelievable land. And so wisely, what Moses decided to do before they entered into the land is send out some spies and kind of figure a few things out. You know, where to go next is always an important thing. It's a great thing to have faith, but without wisdom, faith can be a very dangerous thing. And so he used some wisdom and he sent some people out there. And they came back with, at first, a really good report. These grapes that they brought back, in one part of the Bible, it says that it took two men to carry these things on a stick in between them, one cluster. Now, I don't know where you go grocery shopping at, but I know Kroger doesn't sell grapes of that size. And Walmart, they sell everything, but they still don't sell grapes like that. And that was the fruit of the land. And the first thing they tell them is that it is so true. The land that we are promised, that thing that God has given us, that thing that is literally just on the other side of the Jordan here, it's flowing with milk and honey. It's amazing. And I want to tell you this morning, no matter where you are at in your life, God has something for you. No matter where you are, whether you're old or whether you're young, if you have breath inside of you this morning, God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a destination in mind for you this morning. He has grapes for your future. He has amazing things in your future. They brought back this and they said, "Here it is." And they were amazed. I just could not understand that. It goes beyond all comprehension. But yet, it was there before them. Now, I don't know about you, but if I would see something like that, I would automatically begin to get excited about this future possibility of what this land might hold for me, what that tomorrow might be, what the next week might be. What is it going to be for my children and my grandchildren to live inside of a land like that? I think I would hope I would be a little bit like Caleb and say, "Let's do this thing." Let's go after it with everything we have. Let's go headlong into God's promises for us. Because it's an amazing thing. In your life, again, God has grapes for you. In your ministry, God has grapes for you. Parkview Christian Church, in the future of this church, God has grapes for this church. He has amazing plans for this church. He has amazing plans for your life. Maybe it's the plan of starting a business. Maybe it's the plan of having a family that is a God-fearing family that is going to walk upright in fear of the Lord. Maybe it is this idea of going to school and going back to school. But whatever it is, there is grapes in your future. And it is good. But see, the problem is what we don't understand is that when God says, okay, I want to do this thing in your life. I want to give you this thing. I want you to see this purpose inside of you. And I've given you this promise. I've given you this thing inside of you. There's also going to be something inside of our lives. And it's called the enemy. And the enemy comes in many different forms inside of our lives. And all of a sudden, the enemy is there standing in their way in the form of giants. Standing there saying, you're not going to go any further. This is our land. You're not stepping foot here. And we are surprised that as we advance the kingdom of God and as we advance what God wants to do in our own life, in our own church, in our own business, in our own family, that all of a sudden we are surprised when there's opposition along the way. And we have that opposition that comes up to us, and we have to understand and know that it is there because there is a very real enemy out there that wants to throw us off our tracks. We act like the enemy is just going to sleep on our promises. We act like the enemy is not concerned as us advancing the kingdom of God. But the reality, the enemy is very real, and he wants to throw you off your track. And he'll do that through discouragement. He'll do that through fear. He'll do that by getting your eyes off of what God wants to give you onto something else. Fear became very real in their lives. Because all of a sudden, they're speaking of this land and they say, yeah, but wait, don't get too excited. Don't get too happy about the future. Don't get too optimistic about what is about to take place next. Because the reality is there's giants in the land and we can't overcome these things. I know there's people in here today that are looking at your life and saying, I have giants in my life. I don't know how I'm going to overcome them. But with the power of God, you can't overcome those things. But Pastor Tim, you don't understand. And no, I do not understand, but I understand who we serve and the God that we worship. But there's giants that are standing in there. There's giants that are standing in the way. And we should not be fearful of those giants. Because fear begins to dictate our decisions. Fear begins to say, I can't. But you're right there on the promise. You're right there on the banks. All you have to do is walk to the other side. Yeah, but there's giants. Pastor Tim, I have too much lack. There's no way I can. It's a giant. But Pastor Tim, you don't understand my health. My health situation is poor. It's a giant. I can't go back to school. I was never a great student. It's a giant. And there's no way I could ever start the business that I want to because I'm just not sure how to get started. It's a giant. I can't possibly raise a good godly family because I was never given a good godly example in my life. It's a giant. And see, the problem is oftentimes that we look as giants as, well, this person is standing in my way. That we forget what Paul said, that we don't wrestle with each other. We're not in here as a wrestling match with me and you, but we wrestle against principalities and powers of the air. That we are wrestling against the very things that are coming against us, and it is a spiritual thing, and it's time that we begin opening our eyes and realizing that there is a spiritual battle going on for our futures and our right nows. Too many times there's too much fear. It's fear of the unknown. It's fear of the future. See, because what did they begin saying? First thing they said, this land, it's good. It's everything God promised it to be. I mean, this land, it is. It's unbelievable. It's flowing with milk and honey. I don't even understand how milk and honey flows, but it just does. And I mean, look at these grapes. We brought back the example of what, look at these things. I mean, they're like bowling ball size. These things are ridiculous. Look at that report. But all of a sudden, faith begins to shrink. Fear begins to rise. Faith and fear cannot coexist. They cannot be equal parties inside of your life. One will raise up and take other over while the other one shrinks away. We're good at talking faith on a Sunday morning, but what about Tuesday when all hell is breaking forth in your life? Where did the faith go? All of a sudden, we're agreeing with the situation. See, because fear began to change the way they talked. It went from this land flowing with milk and honey into everything that touches this land is devoured. There is no way that we can do this thing. There is no way that we can go forward because this land literally eats the very inhabitants of the people. Fear has changed the way they even speak. Fear changes the way they viewed the promise of God. Their future. Brink is right there. Just step out in faith. It's too scary. I'm just not sure. Will God really be over there to hold me? Will God really be there on the other side of this river? Yeah, he's done some great things in the past. But this is something I've never fought before. This is a battle I've never entered into before. This is a season of my life I've never walked in. They're standing there. And the way they began changing, the view of the land changed in an instant. It's no good. Can't do it. Promises of God seemed so great yesterday, but today, they're just too far off. Too far in the past. God's forgotten about it. I've forgotten about it. I'm moving on. And when God has never forgotten about any promise he's ever given you. And all of a sudden, they began not talking about the giants, began talking about themselves. The most amazing thing in here, through this narrative that we've been looking over this morning, never one time did they ever say God can't. Never one time did they say God is not able to. But what the enemy wants us to do is to begin to change how we view ourselves and who God's turned us into and has made us. Because here is a people of God that has fought, that has seen God's hand, that has seen so many things up to this point. And what do? They begin changing the very image of who God has created them to be and say, we're nothing. We're grasshoppers. What's a grasshopper? Jumps around on grass his whole life. That's why he hops. Grasshopper. That's all he does. We're insignificant. Just like bugs are going to crush us. They begin changing their idea of who God has called them and who God has created them to be. And if the enemy can throw discouragement in your life, if he can throw enough fear at you, and if he can throw enough negativity at you, you will begin changing the very way that you speak of yourself as God sees who you are. Fear begins to distort the very image of God inside of your life. Fear will keep you outside of that promised land, always looking in, but too fearful to step in. Not because we don't believe we serve a great God, the creators of the heavens and the earth, the one that breathed the very stars into the existence, the one that chose to die on a cross and we rose again on the third day. No, we don't doubt who he is, but we doubt that this type of a God could use somebody like me. I didn't say this in the first service, but I thought about this as I was in between services. You know, Moses, he had the same problem. When God said in the burning bush, I want you to do this thing, God, Moses said, not me. He argued with God. Then finally, eventually, he did. Now here's the children of Israel having the same problem. God, we can't. And I want to say this to all the fathers and the mothers out there. What walks through the fathers will run through the children. They inherited that spirit of fear from Moses, and it amplified in their lives of God, you can't use me. There's no way. And when we begin to speak those words over our lives, The Bible says life, the power of life and death is found in the tongue. This thing, this little tiny thing inside of me, that it controls so much. Because first, to begin to walk into my tomorrow, I first have to begin speaking over my today and who I want to be tomorrow so I'm able to walk into that thing. And if I speak lack over my finances, then I will always have lack over my finances. If I speak sickness over my life, then I will always be sick. If I say I will never have enough, I will never have enough. But if I began looking at things and speaking the things as though they are not in my life and saying that I might be sick today, but I know the God that can heal. I might have lack in my life today, but I know the God that can provide. If we begin speaking those things over our lives, then what are we creating for our tomorrow? People that can walk into a promise. Why do you think so many times in the scripture God's talking directly about us? Is it so that he can remind himself? And when he sees Tim, you know, over there, man, he's messed up again. I need to go back to my word and remind him who I've created to be. Okay, I created Tim not to be the tail, but I created him to be the head. No, he didn't write that for himself. He wrote that for us so that when we are going through things, so that when we're up against impossible situations, so that when we're looking at our life and we're looking at our future, we seem so far away from where the promise that God has given us, that we can return back to the word and say, yes, I have been created for such a thing. I've been created for such a time, for such a place, for such a season. I have not been created to be the tail, but I've been created to be the head. Through Christ Jesus, I have enough strength, enough abilities, not upon my own, but as I begin to rely on him, I can walk boldly into my future. And we begin to look at those scriptures and they begin to encourage us. And we begin speaking those scriptures over our life. And we begin to realize that those giants now, they used to look like giants yesterday, but all of a sudden the giants are beginning to follow. We haven't even stepped one foot on the land. The fear of the land is now becoming to look similar to what God has promised it to be, because we are speaking those things into existence as though they are not even today in our lives. But if we never get in agreement with God, if we always are looking at the negative, if we're always looking at the fear and allowing the fear to dictate, then we will always be standing so close to the promise and we'll never step forward into what God wants for us. Church, I don't know where you are at personally in your life. Maybe you can look at me today and say, Pastor Tim, I am in the promised land and it is good. Praise God for you. Maybe you're stepping into that promise and you're finding out there's giants in the land. Maybe you're looking at yourself this morning and say, there's no way, because I am whatever it is. I'd encourage you this morning, begin looking at not yourself, but who God is. Get your eyes off of yourself and your own abilities, but begin setting themselves on the very one that increases our abilities. The very one that says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy is the one that comes in and says, no, that's enough. That's far enough. The enemy is the one that says, your life cannot matter. The enemy is the one that says, the need is too great. The enemy is the one that says, a church will never change a community. The enemy is the one that steps in and says, stop. But God says, continue moving forward. God says, yeah, by yourself, you're not enough. But with me, we're more than a partnership. Yeah, by yourself, you're not going to ever be able to do this thing. But I didn't call you to do something that you could do by yourself, because then you would get all the glory. And God, he wants all the glory. And as we continue stepping through what God has called us to do, we will continue giving him glory. And I know some might look at the next season of the church and say, but we're not sure. Continue stepping forward. Don't allow fear to hold you back. Don't allow the fear of tomorrow to put the brakes on and stop. Because think about this for one moment. That halted an entire generation from stepping foot into the promised land. What God had meant for just a small season, they made a state of being out of it. They spent the rest of their lives wandering the wilderness. Wandering the wilderness. We can spend our entire lives living in fear, so close to the promise. But if we can shake that fear off of our lives, we don't have to wander around any longer. we can step forward and move after what God has for us like never before. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing here this morning in our lives, Father. Lord, we praise you for what you did yesterday. We thank you for what you did last year, Lord, but we give you honor and we give you glory because we know that right now in our lives that we have a purpose, we have a promise hanging over our head this morning. Help us to be able to step through those things and take hold of what you have for us, Lord. Father, I know some people might be saying they're not sure about the tomorrow, but Lord, you're still there and you're there in our tomorrow, waiting to support us, waiting to pour your strength out upon us, waiting to pour your wisdom into us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Continue to be with us and continue to guide us, and we'll give you honor and glory. Amen.